Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever else comes to our minds. Keep in mind, our podcast is E for explicit, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Hello.
Hello, Austin. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Alex?
I'm good. I'm excited because this week, again, we have another guest star, and it's Christina. Hello, Christina.
Hello. I am not Jacob, so hello.
Oh, I thought it was Jacob. Oh, darn it.
Yes. Jacob's been practicing his voices.
Exactly.
Wow, Jacob, you're doing a really good job of it, actually.
Wow.
I'm like the ditto, you know?
Just make your voice into anything you want. That would be some talent, I swear.
That would be.
Well, Christina, you've never been a guest on the podcast, so we're really super excited to have you on.
I'm super excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, how is everybody? I think we're just going to jump right into our weeks and talk about what's been going on. So what's been going on? Anybody want to start?
Mine's been kind of crazy. Had a friend recently that went through some things, and so I actually ended up watching her three children. So they were 13, 10, and 8. So my husband and I don't have any kids. We want to maybe adopt at some point, but we don't have any. And so we went from like no kids to three kids in the house. And let's just say it was like a big adjustment. And like every 5 minutes, it was like, what's for snack? What's for dinner? What's for this? So
that's really, really testing you out in the hard mode.
Yes. So it was like parenting in hard mode. But it was really fun. It was really sweet to have little kids that were excited for you to come home. So it was nice, but I am happy to have a quiet house, and now I am working on a clean house. That's what I did today while on my day off. So
that's how you got to spend your days off, is cleaning. Like, that's usually how it ends up. Wow, a lot of energy. That is a lot. I think you're not really ready until you're just sort of like in it, and you're like, okay, there's a lot of preteen energy going around, and whew.
But they're all nerds, so they were trying to get me to watch Naruto with them. So that was really interesting.
Oh, cute. Oh no. What do you think of Naruto? What do you think? What's your take on it?
It's a little cheesy, but I know Austin knows about one project I want to do. So I'm assuming Naruto might become up at that at some point in time, but we'll see.
Yes, I am looking forward to that project. I'm hoping that comes to fruition at some point.
Ooh, is it a mystery project?
It is. I'll have to fill you in outside of the podcast.
All right. Anything else going on, Christina? Or... that's probably taking up most of your time, but...
Yeah, that's it for me. Just first time on the podcast, so...
Is this your first time you've ever been on any podcast ever?
Yes, this is my first time ever doing a recording of a podcast.
Yay! It's so fun taking all of our friends, like, podcast cherries. We've been doing that a lot lately.
You gotta just dive right in. I mean, I guess we've been doing this long enough to where it's like, okay... I'm not as nervous as I would have been, like, back when we started this couple years ago, but Christina, you really could have fooled me, because, like, before, like, setting everything up, I mean, you play a lot of PC games and stuff, right? Like, you're pretty familiar with the whole thing, and you've listened to some of our episodes, so you're like, yeah, I already know this, you don't have to tell me anything, like...
Yeah, and I used to want to do YouTube, so, like, I know a lot of the background stuff of doing that. I had, like, a couple of failed... This is, like, when I was, like, 17, 18. Made, like, a few videos. They're long deleted now, so don't look.
Oh, no! I was not aware of it. Okay, let's get some context. I've known Christina since we were, like, teens, like, very young.
Yes.
I was not aware of these videos, Christina.
Well, you probably wouldn't have been very interested. They were on, like, makeup, because I thought I was going to be really good at makeup, but I'm not very good at makeup.
Oh, girl.
Alex would be interested.
You know what? That's so funny you said that, because literally a couple years ago, when we first had this idea to do this podcast and we started like getting into what it would entail, and like we bought our equipment. Granted, it's not the expensive stuff. It's pretty beginner level equipment and setup. But I had that idea as well. I was like, I want to get into like doing makeup YouTube videos and stuff. And then I got too nervous and it never panned out. But
I think you still can.
Maybe. Yes. It seems like a lot goes into it. Like, I can't even imagine the level of dedication and time that it takes to produce content that people actually, you know, want to see. And I don't know. I think about that sometimes. And Christina, I may have to, like, it may be good to get your insight on potentially, because one of our ideas for this podcast is like a spinoff kind of thing, was doing like Twitch streaming, like Let's Play or something. So that's something in the works potentially that we'd like to try, or at least I would like to try, and I'm going to rope Austin and Jacob into it. So
there is a podcast I watch. It's by some popular YouTubers. It's called Distractable. It's like by Markiplier. They're like gamers and everything like that. But they do actually do a podcast, but they have a video in Spotify that allows them to like have some video context to that. Oh. So that could be also something you guys could add to as well. But
That sounds familiar. I've heard of that creator.
Is he the one, the muscly one that had an OnlyFans?
Yes, for charity.
You like how that's what I know about this topic?
Anyway, what else is going on? Austin, what's been going on in your life?
One thing I've done recently is I had a 3-month subscription to the Viz Media manga app. And have y'all ever heard of the manga creator Junji Ito? I think you say it.
That sounds familiar.
I haven't.
Okay, well, he's like a big horror. I think he's like the Stephen King of horror manga or something like that.
Is he the Chainsaw Man guy or is that something else?
That's something different. But they had a bunch of that stuff on that app, and so that's what I did for like a month, was just reading like horror comics from Japan. And that's some wild stuff, you guys. But then my subscription ran out, my free trial.
Is that why you were talking about horror video games earlier?
Christina, remember that time you and I were supposed to play Five Nights at Freddy's and we never did?
I know, we still need to do that, and we could do it like for like a spinoff.
I've always wanted to learn more about horror games, and I just have never done it. Video games are expensive, you know?
They are.
And time-consuming.
But I own some of them, so you can just use my Steam.
Well, if you would ever invite me to your house, maybe I could.
Maybe one day when it's not a mess, so. Oh, okay. So maybe like 2034, I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. Well, y'all are welcome at my place anytime. Just invite yourself over.
Austin's the only person with like a functional space to where you can like have people. Even I'm what, 4 months into my lease here at my apartment, and I still don't have a place to sit. But that's changing. That's changing for me on Friday.
Yay! You're getting a couch finally after like a whole year almost.
I know. I feel like everybody in my... Oh my god, call me out. I feel like everybody in my life knows this story now.
It's been your big story for a while now. You tell everyone.
It's actually way more horrible than you would like think. If you don't have a place to sit, you would think like, oh, that's like no big deal. Like you can make it work. But it's actually a pretty glaring problem not to have a couch. So yes, finally, the saga is concluding on Friday. I am getting my couch. They are delivering it and I will be complete.
I'll believe it when I sit on it.
That's so exciting.
It is exciting. Thank you, Christina. Christina understands.
Exactly. The struggle is real sometimes.
This is a monumental occasion in my life. Yeah, hopefully when I get all that stuff situated, I'll have a proper place and can actually have people around.
Ooh, we can play Mario Party at your place, Alex.
I know, we were super excited. Austin sat me down and made me watch the most recent Nintendo Direct, and one of the big reveals was the Mario Party Jamboree. Is that what it's called?
Sure.
It's the biggest Mario Party ever with the most mini games, and I actually was like genuinely interested in it. And I'm like, if we bought this, that's an excuse for us to play it with all of our friends. So
I do love me some Mario Party, so I'm definitely down.
Everybody loves Mario Party. If you don't love Mario Party, there's something wrong with you and you need to reevaluate your life.
Because there ain't no party like a Mario Party.
But that's, I mean, I guess as far as my week, that's the big news. I'm really trying to gloss over the whole Dragon Age of it all, because if you're anything like me and you're a big Dragon Age fan, we got the first gameplay reveal trailer in 10 years, and I've been frothing at the mouth ever since. But I'm going to spare you guys. I'm not going to get into it. I'll take the whole podcast hour.
We can do a special episode.
Who wants to hear me? I don't know. Is there any audience for who wants to hear me rambling about this? Probably not.
Oh, yes. If you love Dragon Age, please write in at outofthedryandpan@gmail.com.
Please do. I would love to have somebody to like nerd out about Dragon Age. So is that everything? Anything else anybody wants to touch on or any announcements? Or we can just jump right into the episodes this week.
I should probably mention that before we move on, just heads up, I've mentioned Christina on this podcast many times.
Yes, I was the person you went to the convention with.
Exactly. Whenever I'm at a convention with someone, it's with her. She's my convention buddy. Or rather, I'm her plus one.
We were supposed to go to one this weekend, but unfortunately I had some family stuff that came up.
It's just not good timing.
I wish I could get you the free tickets, but I will try to get you next year and hook you up. Okay. So
it's fine. Honestly, this weekend's kind of busy anyway, so not the best timing. But I appreciate it, the free tickets, anytime.
Next time, next year, that'll be fun to go to.
Yes, we should drag you.
We should dress up in costumes some year.
Oh my gosh. Do you know how much time and effort and money it takes to actually have a good cosplaying costume? That's a lot of commitment and work. I mean, if you can make it happen, Austin, make it happen. I would love to see
okay,
that.
Okay, I will. I know exactly what we're all going to be.
What are we going to be?
We're going to be a band of Diglett thieves.
Why can't we just be a band of Diglets?
Because then we'd be the sexy man Diglets, and I don't have the gym body for that.
Ooh, sexy man Diglett. Yeah, but you have a year to get ready, so... make it happen.
Body transformation.
I'd rather be a Diglett, because then I can just go in my hole.
Oh.
Just put on my big clown nose. Cool. Well, yeah, that's a good transition. Or at least the best transition we're going to get into this week's episodes. Our episodes this week are Plant It Now, Diglett Later, and Hi-Ho Silver Away.
You got to say it right.
I'm sorry. Did I say it wrong? Hi-Ho Silver Away!
There you go.
Okay, so what's our breakdown?
Christina, could you do our 30-second summaries, please?
Yes.
Alex, could you do the Diglett episode?
I would love to do the Diglett episode.
And I'm going to do the romantic Hi-Ho Silver Away episode because I'm such a romantic.
All right, are we ready? Do we have a 30-second timer started?
I do. Christina, are you ready?
I am ready.
Get ready in 3, 2, 1, go!
All right, so it's after the World Cup. The heroes, which are Ash, Misty, and Brock, are on a boat to go towards Transit Town, I think. And then we also see Team Rocket there. They are trying to, you know, as usual, get our heroes. So they dig this pitfall. The three of them fall into the pitfall. And then Team Rocket also falls into another pitfall. And they're like, hey, we didn't build another one. Did you? Do you think you built
two?
Time. Oh, no. I'm so bad.
That's what we've discovered is people try to summarize the entire episode in 30 seconds, like beat for beat. And it's like, nope, you gotta do highest high level.
Okay. That's the fun part about this, Christina, really. I mean, it's so funny to see how you guys like are approaching this, like whether it's Kelsey or you or, I mean, even us, like sometimes we really trip over ourselves and we get like into it. 30 seconds goes by faster than you would think.
I felt like it was like forever. So I was like, oh, yeah, it's not.
But we can talk about it. This episode, you know what? I'm going to put this out there. This is going to be, I don't know, a bombshell maybe. But this may be one of my favorite episodes of this anime so far.
Whoa.
I know. Isn't that wild?
I thought it was cute.
This episode was great. You're wrong if you think it wasn't great. I'm sorry. There is such a thing as a right and wrong opinion in this case.
What do you think, Christina?
So I thought it was really cute. So admittedly, this is like the first time I've watched Pokemon in a little while. Kind of like been listening to the podcast, but I haven't been like watching the episodes. So like I forgot how cheesy some of the lines are. I thought it was really cute. Like, because at first I'm like, okay, there's these thieves, whatever. But then you find out what the whole reasoning behind it. And I'm like, that's really sweet. And like, and they just kind of go along with it. So obviously, I know we'll discuss it later on in the plot, but...
Honestly, I mean, I totally agree. I think the premise was cute. We have that four kids magic is just rampant in this episode. I thought the quotes were hilarious. I have so many. We start out with the narrator, who gives us, like, a damn novel summarization of what's happened over the last couple episodes, which you would think a lot more has gone on than really has gone on based on this summary, but... He tells us that the twerps are on their way, like Christina said, to Transit Town to take a boat back to Olivine City. So that's what our intention is. But of course we get sidetracked, as we'll see. The twerps are on the verge of starvation, and they're too tired and hungry to notice the obvious, very obvious pitfall trap hole in the middle of the road. And Team Rocket, of course, is there. And they realize that the pitfall that the twerps have fallen into is not the one they dug. There's a second one next to it. So they fall into their own trap. But we find out that this hole was dug by a bunch of Diglets. And these two girls appear, Rita and Sue, with their ladder of Diglets. What did we think about the ladder of Diglets? I love the Diglett wall.
Oh my god, it was like some sort of horrible creature from the depths of hell.
To me, they just look like little sausages.
I was trying to figure out the logistics. So like, were they all coming at it like horizontally and then they picked their head up and they like came up to make it like an L shape
it seems to have been the case.
My question is what do you think Diglets look like bottom down?
Oh, God.
A naked, muscular man.
Maybe.
Have you guys ever seen that, like, picture floating around the internet where it's, like, somebody drew, like, this horrific underground-dwelling monster, and it's, like, the little Diglet on the forehead is, like, kind of like an anglerfish's...
Yep, I'm putting some in the chat right now.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, gosh, that's terrifying.
I do really like the sexy man Diglets, though. That's
Oh, creative. There's plenty of those.
Don't Google sexy man Diglet. Or do Google sexy man Diglet.
Oh, my God, you can go on Amazon and buy the sexy man Diglets.
Like a plushie?
Like a, looks like a figure, like a figurine.
Oh, whoa. My God, whoa.
Whoa. Oh, and you can plant it in a little planter. That's cute.
Amazon took it off, but it used to have it on there, and it was called Anime Figure Japanese Anime Show Diglets Underground Body Action Figure Funny Muscle Man Diglet PVC Collection. So Funny Google that and you'll find it.
That's a lot of Googling.
Amazon, you're no fun. You took out the best stuff.
I was going to get that for you for Christmas, Austin.
Oh, too bad.
I know.
You can probably order it on Temu or something.
I've never seen this one before.
What? God only knows what's about to pop up in the chat. Ew, it's a giant hand.
Ew.
A Diglet with a hand as a bottom part. Ew.
That reminds me of, like, the Addams Family, that little hand, you know?
Oh, yeah. Is that Cousin It?
No, I thought Cousin It was the hairy one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Then who's the hand?
Thing. His name's Thing.
Oh, Thing. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
It took me a minute. I remember his name's Thing. Anyhow, Diglet girls and all the Diglets are like, can you help us? We really need your help. We have a problem. But we'll explain it to you after we feed you a delicious 12-course banquet meal in your honor. So all you have to do is follow us back to our homes. We'll feed you, and then we'll tell you what we need help with. So, of course, the twerps agree to this because free food, am I right?
And Team Rocket.
And Team Rocket. Oh, yeah. Team Rocket's also there. They get helped out of their own holes that they dug, and they get carted off along for the ride. So as they're eating, so we're back at the village, and as they're eating, this is where things get wild, you guys. This is where things really, if I could recommend any episode for you guys to watch alongside of this, please watch this episode, because I feel like I'm not going to be able to do it justice just by talking about it. So they're eating, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of old men in costumes and masks start surrounding them and dancing at them, and they introduce themselves as the town council. And the leader is, of course, the mayor. And Miracle Max is also there. I don't know why this guy reminded me of Miracle Max. Have you ever seen The Princess Bride?
I don't remember it very well. Christina, how about you?
No, but I was going to say, actually, one of the voices of the council members reminds me of the Rugrats, their grandfather, Boris. He has, like, the same voice as him. And I was like, I don't know if it's the same voice actor, but I'm like, oh, Grandpa Boris, what are you doing here?
Is it Billy Crystal by any chance?
I don't know.
Boris was definitely not Billy Crystal.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about.
I just remember also, like, the Passover episode. That was, like, their biggest episode on the Rugrats.
Oh, my God. When he was locked in the attic and they thought he had left her.
Yes.
That was a good one.
That was a really good one.
I don't know. But not the mayor himself, but the second in command guy. I don't even know what his name is, to be honest with you. But he so reminded me of Billy Crystal in Princess Bride. And it tickled me. I thought it was funny. And they're like, surely now that we've fed you, you wouldn't turn away our request, right? Like, right? Totally guilt-tripping them. I don't even know how to explain this part. Can I just read it out? Because I hope this is nobody's quote, but I feel like I need to, like, say this entire exchange, because this was wild. So these people are clearly senile or something. So he's like, we need a rocket. And of course, Team Rocket's like, yes, we can help. This is what we were born to do. And they're like, wait, no, not a rocket. So the mayor says, no, we don't need a rocket. True, we have no desire here to fly into space. And Jesse's like, well, what the fuck do you need then?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, she did say that. She wanted to say that. I must not be making myself clear. I know, yes, a racket. And so then they have like tennis outfits on. No, a biscuit? It's too late for a snack right now. I fear we're leading our friends down another confusing path. You're right. A robot? A roper? This isn't a rodeo. I don't understand what was going on in this part.
I feel like we were working backwards from visual Japanese puns, and it just became utter nonsense.
It was very much a visual gag. Like, that's why I'm very strongly stressing that you watch the episode. Or maybe Austin can put the audio in. I'm not certain how hard that'll be, but...
Don't volunteer me for things.
Anyway, we finally settle on what they are really after. And the word he was looking for was helper, because apparently that's very hard to remember. And what they need help with is defending their humble village from a band of Dodrio-riding samurai thieves known as the Diglett Thieves. The Band of Diglett Thieves. The explanation that they give is that every year these Diglett Thieves come to steal the crop of the plump and healthy Diglets that they've raised to evolve them into the world's best Doug Trio. James declares this his life's purpose, to help his fellow man, and they all decide that they are going to infiltrate the other part of the village where these Diglett Thieves live. And of course, the twerps are the ones voluntold to go over and confront them. I don't know. I didn't think these samurai people were very scary, but I guess Team Rocket is pretty cowardly.
Yeah, I thought they were like, it was really interesting because like, oh, we're going to come back tomorrow and get those Diglets. So it was like, okay. So, and I like the line, this isn't my favorite line, but they're like, oh, how nice. Like, they plan their, I don't know what they said, like theft or whatever. But basically that they made a plan of when they were going to thieve the elders. So.
It always reminds me, it's like the syndrome thing in The Incredibles. He was like, oh, you got me monologuing.
I just don't have any words. This is just so weird.
It's quite the episode. So they sneak into the other section of the village where, like Christina alluded to, this isn't all what it seems. They briefly spy on Sue or Rita, I can't remember which one was which, to be honest with you, having a conversation with one of the Diglett thieves, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is treason. I can't believe they're conversing with the enemy. But they quickly find out that these people are not at all what they seem. These are actually the children and the grandchildren of the old people that live in the other part of town. And as it turns out, I guess they were like farmers who used the Diglett to like till the land and turned it into a desert, or they turned it from a desert into a thriving farmland. So they've worked alongside these Diglett for years, and they're very fiercely protective of the Diglett. And these descendants of these older folks decided that they were going to pool all their resources and build them a luxurious 5-star senior citizen retirement home as thanks for all the hard work that they've done over their life. But the old people aren't having this because, as we all know, old people are set in their ways.
Maybe we could ask the old people if they want to move to a retirement facility.
I like how it's like basically like it's like the equivalent of a 4-star hotel. It's like, oh, not even 5-star.
They couldn't afford that last star.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they should have asked their parents or grandparents like how they felt about this before they, you know, just went and did this whole thing on their own accord. But I guess they thought they were doing a nice thing.
Vari, I also like how that doesn't go anywhere. They mention it and it never comes back.
To go a little deep, but like I feel like it's also kind of reflective of like our society in which like we just kind of like, oh, we're going to dump our parents into like these nursing homes. And even if they look nice, then like at least they're taken care of. But it's like, no, these people want to like live and be like active and everything like that.
Right. They want to live on their homes they've lived on for decades and be productive and be useful and have a routine. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Not yet anyway. I don't know. I'm kind of concerned for those main two old guys who seemingly have early onset dementia, but, or maybe it's not really early onset. They're pretty old. I'm not certain. Mm. Maybe they need some full-time care. But other than that, the rest of the people seem to have all their faculties.
Didn't one of the elder ladies say she was like 120? And then Jessie, yeah, she's like, that's 10 times my age. So is Jessie 12? That was like my biggest question. Okay.
Definitely not. No way.
I was going to say, there's no way she's 12.
Jessie can't do math.
Yeah, Jessie gives her age at various different things, but they're always much younger than she actually is.
Is she, like, in her 20s, presumably?
That's the thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nobody has asked Grandma and Grandpa what they want to do with their lives, you know, because instead of having, like, an adult conversation with these people and say, you know what, how would you feel about this? Or, you know, can we interest you in potentially doing this? And they would say, no, we really still want to enjoy our work and continue living our lives the way that we are living them now, but They don't. Instead, what the twerps come to find out, the main leader of the band of Diglett thieves is actually, I don't know, I guess he's the son of, like, the main guy, right? Or the main old dude.
Sure.
But he's the true mayor, I guess, this younger guy. And he's like, we're the kids and the grandkids of these older folks. And once upon a time, there actually was a true band of Diglett thieves that were really trying to steal these people's Pokemon and land or whatever. But that was years ago. Years ago, they have since moved on. They haven't actually bothered this town in many, many decades. But the old people had a purpose defending their homes and Diglett against these thieves. So in order to keep them spry, because I guess this is the secret to their longevity. When they have something to live for and look forward to, it keeps them going. So these kids and grandkids keep up the ruse of these Diglett thieves every year to keep these old people on their toes and give them something to live for, I guess. Because otherwise, I guess if they just went into the retirement home, they would just die.
What a wacky episode that Alex loves so much.
I love it.
It is
cute. I know
cute.
I'm not doing it justice, but you know, it's a good one. It's a clever. It's unique. I don't know.
It's like they both enjoy it, like both sides. They're all just having harmless fun. I like it.
It's like a little game of cat and mouse.
Can I make a fan fiction suggestion?
Please. We love a fan fiction suggestion.
I wish at the end it was suggested that the old people were in on it and they were just playing along for the game.
Oh.
I thought that's where it was going to go, but it didn't go there. So I was kind of surprised.
I wish that they would have gone that way, Austin. That's a good point that you make, because as it is, all we know is, at least what we know that the old people know, is that they think their kids and grandkids went off to the city because they were taken in by the fast-paced lifestyle of the glittering city, and they're too good and, you know, all that for farm life. So they've kind of abandoned, you know, their parents in the town. So I kind of wish that they knew, like, you know, hint, hint, wink, wink, like, we know our kids are actually doing this to keep us happy. All they know, apparently, is that their kids, like, abandon them, and they have to fight these Diglett people off themselves because they don't know it's them. But as we find out, they keep up the ruse at the end because they find all this stuff out. And then, of course, the next day, the band of Diglett thieves launch their pretend attack where nobody truly gets hurt on the old people. But the only three that don't know what's truly going on because they didn't get the memo is Team Rocket. So unfortunately for Team Rocket, they start to really attack the Diglett thieves, thinking they're doing the right thing, defending these old folks. And Ash has to be like, he almost tries to call it out and tell them the truth, but is stopped by Misty, who says you can't give up the goose here because otherwise it'll ruin everything for these old people.
Which didn't quite make sense, but okay.
Let them have their fun. I don't know.
Okay, whatever. The old people aren't going to question anything. They don't care.
Right, but they were, like, literally dropping, like, bombs on them, weren't they? So it was kind of like, okay, they kind of did have to step in, because people might actually get hurt.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they really were thinking that these thieves were actual bad people that were trying to steal the Diglett. And, I mean, to Ash's credit, he does feel bad about this. He's like, I'm so sorry. We don't have any means to tell you the truth, so we'll have to blast you off. And they do. And then, of course, at the end, Miracle Max there gives them a Silverwing badge, which looks pretty cool, and kind of ushers them off to the next part of their adventure, which is to Silver Rock Isles. He's like, if you want to learn more about this Silverwing badge and the history behind it, you'll need to go to this place over here. So that gives them at least their next destination. Forget Olivine City, you guys. We got other stuff more pressing to worry about now.
Yes, we do.
So yeah, that's about it for the Diglett episode, which I wasn't expecting out of a Diglett episode, to be honest. But I loved it. Any other thoughts on the Diglett episode? You guys aren't as impressed as I am, apparently.
I'm not impressed with this episode. Sorry, my cynicism, once again.
Austin!
It's my 90% of hatred, like Tristan said. Sorry.
If this episode doesn't do it for you, I think you're a lost cause.
I am a lost cause. Put me out to sea.
Like I said, I think it was cute. I don't really have a lot to say about it because, I think I know you guys have mentioned a lot of these episodes. I feel like filler episodes. It was kind of like this one little plot, little, like, silly kind of side quest. But I'm assuming that it was to lead into the Silver Wing thing. So it kind of had to be that way. Or they had to kind of give it some direction that way. So.
Yeah, like Austin mentioned, I think, a couple episodes back, we're not done with this whole World Islands arc. Like, I was sitting there thinking, okay, you know, we did the World Cup. What more can we possibly do from here? I don't know. For a filler episode, I was pleasantly surprised. I was entertained. We could do a lot worse. Yes.
You know what island-based Diglett episode I preferred, Alex?
Daniel Foreman.
No, I do prefer that one. But the other Diglett episode where that guy, the John Wayne guy, or whatever he was. What was he?
John Wayne? What episode was this?
He was the man with no name.
With the Voltorbs?
Yeah.
Wait, there were Diglett in that episode?
Yeah, he was Clint Eastwood, and he had Diglets, including a Diglett that lived in his hat, and he would throw out all the Diglett to relocate all the electrodes to somewhere else.
Oh my gosh.
I way preferred that episode. I thought that was way more fun.
Okay, that's true. You know what? This is just proof right here that every freaking Diglett episode that we've had has been a banger of an episode.
Oh, this is my least favorite of the three Diglett episodes we've had. Sorry. I don't think it was bad. It was just like, I'm done with Diglett at this point.
Okay, so to recap for Christina, we have had the Diglett episode where they're like building, what was it, like a dam or a resort or something with the guy we named Daniel Foreman. And the Diglets like blew up all of their construction equipment.
Well.
That was a great episode. And then we've had the Clint Eastwood knockoff episode with a Diglett, guy who has a Diglett who lives in his hat. And then this one.
Oh, what was your favorite of the three? Rank them, Alex.
My favorite of the three Diglett episodes?
Was it this one?
Okay, this is tough. Ooh, no, you put me on the spot. The Clint Eastwood Diglett episode may be slightly better than this one, but this is a very close second.
Yes.
This is a very close second, and then I would say Daniel Foreman Diglett episode is the number three.
Okay, swap two and three for me.
Well, Christina, based on my summary of them, what would your potential favorites be?
Because you only gave me, I think, a summary for the other one. I would say the resort one, because that sounds interesting. You know, resorts plus blowing up sounds kind of cool. And then probably this one, because I think it's cute and wholesome. And then the other one, I guess, the Daniel Foreman. Because I'm not a huge Clint Eastwood person. Like, I don't really care very much about him.
Fair enough. I love them. You know, Diglett's really an underdog. You wouldn't think that they would have a good episode, but some of the best so far.
Alex, you are so full of contradictions, because you have ranted probably on the podcast about how scary Diglett is to you.
Diglett is scary. It's an
unknown, unknowable entity.
You know what? It really depends on my mood.
Okay, I feel like, fair enough. So does everything.
I feel like that's, you know what? That's not just a me thing. That's an everybody thing. One day you can hate something. One day you can love something. Anyway, yep. So that's the Plant It Now, Diglett Later episode. It's a 9 out of 10 for me.
It's like a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
It's like a 3 out of 10 to represent three Diglets in a Doug Trio.
Love it. I like how the Doug Trio appeared for like maybe like half a scene and then that was it. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they weren't a big focus. I thought we were going to get more of a focus on Doug Trio and the whole like evolving thing that they were talking about, but that wasn't the point of this episode, I guess.
No.
All right, so do we want to move on to our MVP, our LVP, and our quotes for this episode?
Yes.
Yes.
The order is Alex, Austin, Christina.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I am going to give my MVP to those two old guys, the mayor and Miracle Max, because I love them. I thought they were wacky. They made no sense. They are my favorite thing. My LVP is going to be... God, I don't... I honestly don't think I have a single LVP. What can I say? I really like this episode. I guess if I really have to say something, I guess the kids and the grandkids for not having an adult conversation with their parents about their age and how they want to handle their twilight years, you know, instead of tricking them, they could have just been like, hey, how do you feel about a luxury resort? Yes, no, okay, we can save ourselves, you know, millions of dollars in building this place. They didn't do that. Instead, they just kept up this ruse.
Thinking they know what's best for everyone.
I don't know. I say that as an LVP, but I'm really not committed to it, to be honest with you. Because I like the whole, like, this is so fun.
I think the older people might be a little prideful, so that's why they wouldn't admit to it. Like, because maybe if they did admit that it was them, that they wouldn't be, like, as into it. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a purpose for it, maybe.
I think it was all out of good fun.
Like, when one of the kids, like, pets the Diglett, he's like, say hi to Gramps for me. I was like, oh, that's so cute.
I know. All right, and my quote is going to be... There's so many good ones, y'all. I'm really struggling this week. I think it's at the end when the mayor says, I feel... So Ash blasts off Team Rocket. They get the short end of the stick, even though they were trying to help. So back at the house, the mayor says, "I feel sorry for those three cream pockets." And Brock says, "I'm sure they'd appreciate that nickname."
What was it? Cream pockets?
I'm pretty sure he said cream pockets. I could be wrong, but that's
what
I
heard. A cream pocket sounds delicious. Let's go get some.
Ooh, yes. Is it kind of like the Z-Claire thingies? Oh, that'd be really good.
Yo, yes. Give me a cream pocket.
Like the ones they sell at Costco where they're in like the freezer section. Oh, so good.
Oh, stop. I'm going to Costco later.
Go get
later.
Get us some.
Yeah, get us some and we'll play Mario Party.
Yes.
Ooh, that sounds like a perfect day.
It's my turn now.
Go ahead. I talk too much.
My MVP is going to be Alex for enjoying this episode so much. I'm glad you had a fantastic viewing experience.
It's the little things. It really is.
And I'm going to give my LVP to Rita and Sue, the two girls who roped the Twerps and Team Rocket into the situation in the first place. That is because they did not explain to them the whole setup, and they let them figure it out on their own. There's really no reason for them to have done that.
Yeah, they could have easily said, "Hey, this is the situation.
Help us. We're gaslighting some old people. Come help us." My quote, I'm going to piggyback off of what Christina was saying earlier. The old lady says, "Those youngins are in their prime. I'm 120. Jesse says, "No, that's 10 times my age." And then Meowth comes in and he says, "Now, where did you learn that math?"
Oh, so
I forgot about that line. I thought he was just being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's my turn.
Now's your turn. Yep.
Okay, so my MVP was the mayor, actually. Not of the village town, but the other town. I thought it was really sweet that he tries to do all that for his family, like, because he wants them to keep living and thriving. And I like the fact that he, like, was brave enough to let Pikachu, like, do Thunderbolt on him.
Yeah, that was a cool moment.
Yeah.
When he hits his chest, and it's like, dunk, dunk. You can't hit me.
And then my LVP, so I think I'm going to say something kind of controversial, but maybe not. I actually don't like Brock as a character. I think it's really annoying that every episode he's like in love with a new girl after like 2 seconds. And I thought, like, even as a kid, I remember being very frustrated with him. But as an adult, even more so. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, you literally just like laid eyes on her. So he's my LVP because I feel like he just got in the way in the episode. And I just feel like I ignore his parts.
Poor Brock.
Oh, I love it, Christina. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I didn't know I had such strong feelings, but then I rewatched it. And I'm like, oh, yes, I don't like this character.
Brock has aged poorly.
It's going to be hard not to pick him as like my LVP for like every episode, but I'm going to try not to. And then my favorite quote was like when Jesse and James were like establishing like who was going to go and, you know, spy on the people in the other town. And Jesse's like, "When did we get the twerps to go in?" And he's like, "Oh, when it became scary." And I'm like, typical Team Rocket. Anything, when it becomes difficult, they give it to somebody else. So
I almost gave James MVP for that line.
I thought about it too.
Team Rocket really had some standout moments. This is like peak Team Rocket for me. Like those times when they really try to do the right thing and then inevitably end up getting shafted anyway. Like, I felt really bad for them.
I know. I'm like, they were trying to do something nice. And that's what they said when they're blasting off, right? Like, even when we try to be nice, it never works out or something like that.
Breaks my heart.
Christina, are you ready to summarize the next episode?
Oh, goodness. Hopefully I do better this time.
I wish you luck. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Ash, Brock, and Misty run into a local shopkeeper who introduces them to one of her friends who's a jewelry maker. They encounter the jewelry maker, and they find out that him and his Saint Slash are very ill, so they go and help him recover, and then they kind of start talking about the Silverwing, how it's made, and then this one character also is like the police officer, and she found out that they were selling fake Silverwings, and Team Rocket ends up buying a whole bunch of these fake Silverwings.
Time. Yeah. All right, you got through 2/3 of the episode on that one.
Yeah.
That was good.
I'm getting better. Each time. Now I have to just remember, like, what's important and what's not.
I know, it's hard. You, like, freeze up.
Yes.
I always just conclude it with saying, like, and then they blast off Team Rocket. The end.
That's true. That is basically the end.
Austin, you gotta put on your romantic hat now.
It's a sexy romance up in here, because we're on Silver Rock Island in some town. Did they say what town this was?
Silver Rock Town.
It's in Casado City, I think.
Oh, Casado City. I missed that.
Christina coming in with the deets that we didn't miss.
Yeah.
Casado City, I like that. So, every single square inch of this place is devoted to Silver Wings. and all the merchants sell Silver Wing cookies, Silver Wing fudge, Silver Wing keychains, Silver Wing everything you can possibly imagine.
Silver Wing fudge sounds amazing.
I would totally go for some right now.
I think we're just hungry.
I know, maybe.
A terrifying jewelry salesman comes up and does not take no for an answer and tries to pawn off some shit on the twerps. But this random lady in like a shoulder pad suit jacket comes up. And she's like, this is not genuine Silver Wing, Silver Rock, Silver Wings. And she snaps it in half and is like, see, it's a fake. And he's like, ah, and runs away. And she introduces herself as Ariane. Was she a police officer? I missed that.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe like, I just felt like, because she mentioned later that she had busted other people for fake, but maybe she's just like super passionate about the Silver Wings.
Yeah, she just goes around being like, you're a fake.
I agree with Christina. I think that she's just a vigilant citizen. You know what? Honestly, and not to like disparage Ariane in any way, but I feel like she's a little bit of a busybody. She's like the unofficial town leader.
Well, we love a busybody on this show because she's met the biggest busybodies of all. That is Ash, Misty, and Brock.
That's true. She pales in comparison to those three.
And they tell her that they're here to learn about Silver Wings. And like, well, you're in the right fucking place. She takes them to her friend, Gennaro, his house, because he knows all about Silver Wings.
Quote unquote friend.
Her friend with benefits, Gennaro. We can explore the relationship in just a moment.
Yes.
And the dwarves are like, no one's here. And she's like, oh, I'm sure he's in here. So she just bursts through the front door and is like, hello, Gennaro, where are you? And he's like, passed out on the floor, as is his sand slash. Because he just worked so hard that he collapsed.
Did you guys think, at least initially, that something more sinister was afoot? Like, I thought he was, like, attacked. And, like, somebody had stolen his stuff. Knocked him out or something. I didn't know what was happening. But it turns out he's just a big baby.
Yeah, I thought so. But then it was, like, playing on the trope that, you know, men get all, like a baby when they're sick. And I'm like, ah. Mm-hmm. I see where this is going. Their whole banter was really obnoxious, but that's another story.
So, we don't say they're dating, but, like, they clearly have a flirtation at the very least.
Yeah.
What did we think was the nature of their relationship?
Starting out.
They've just started dating?
No. Like, what our initial thoughts were?
Yeah, like, at this point.
I mean, clearly, how do I even say this? They have I'm with Christina. Like, they have an obnoxious dynamic where it's like they're always ribbing at each other. And, like, Ariane kind of babies him, but, like, not, like, he's a grown man.
Yeah.
And she's like, didn't you do this? Or, you know, you should know better than that. It's like, it's kind of like this school grade level, like, playground pulling the pigtails kind of dynamic. I don't know how to describe it. Very well.
I hated the line where I think he talks about her cooking or whatever, and he's like, oh, at least that's something you can do or something like that. And I was like,
ooh, I missed that.
I was like, oh my gosh, I want to smack this character right now.
Rude. I missed it too, but maybe I just like blocked it out. I don't know.
I'm surprised, Austin, that you wouldn't have caught on to that, because I feel like you would have felt very passionate about that if you had noticed that.
Honestly, I was not too entranced with the romance subplot. So the fact that he was making potentially not nice comments, I, like, didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a vibe read off of them. It was like, you two are weird.
They didn't have, like, that automatically, like, romantic kind of flavor to their relationship. It was kind of more of, like, nagging siblings, kind of.
Like, siblings or, like, yeah. Old friends. I didn't get romance.
No.
When he says romance later, I'm like, wait, what?
That was, I kind of got that same feeling. I'm like, that was kind of out of nowhere, but sure.
Anyway, Gennaro claims he's dying, but he's not. He's just a man with a cold, which, honestly, I can't fault him for that, because I'm the exact same way. If I feel ill, I'm like, oh my god, this is the end. I'm so sorry to those who have known me.
Oh no, Austin. No, not you.
I'm so dramatic. I'm sorry. There's this weird moment where Ariane's like, okay, now we can talk about the Silver Wings, but I don't want to, so I'm going to leave. Goodbye. Children, you can stay here with Gennaro. And everyone's cool with this.
Doesn't he invite them to stay with him? Like,
does he?
Stay
at my... That's also weird.
Yeah, he invites these random kids, because I'm assuming these are adult people, right?
They look like they were, like, in their 30s?
Maybe late 20s, but and Ash is like, we'd love to. I'm like, you're, what, 10, and you're staying at these random adult places, but okay. I mean, I guess you're also, like, traveling the world being a Pokemon master, so...
People are too damn trusting in this world.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be a utopia, right?
Come on into my house. Just stay the night. I don't know who you are. It's cool. So, Gennaro tells us the story of a ship that was sinking in a storm.
Is this in any way related to the story of the ship that we got about Luca's great-grandfather or whatever?
I thought the same thing, but I figured it wasn't.
Oh.
Because that ship was the ship that had a silver wing in a box.
Yes.
On the ship, and it sank to the bottom of the ocean. That was the ISS Raspberry.
Got it.
This ship just had some random sailors on it, and then it got caught in a storm. And it was kind of confusing because they were floating in the wreckage in the water. And then a mysterious creature that we know as a Lugia came by and saved them and left behind a silver wing floating from the sky.
Okay.
Then it's very weird because Gennaro says that the ship ended up at Ogi Island. But I'm like, how could the ship end up at Ogi Island? The ship sank.
Have we heard that before, Ogi Island? Has anybody referenced that? When did that
Ogi
happen?
Ogi City was in a previous episode.
Ogi City. Okay, that was what it
was. Let me look it up.
I thought they may have mentioned that, and I was like, wait, that sounds super familiar.
Hold on. Sorry, Christina.
You're okay.
Context.
I need to go back and watch some of the other episodes, because...
No, you do not. No, you do not. Sorry, you've kind of joined us at a weird time where there's actually continuity between episodes.
Yeah, normally there's not, though, right?
Normally there's not. Jacob picked the worst time to have a child.
I know, how dare they?
How dare he? Right during the part with continuity.
Okay, Ogi City is where Luca lives.
Oh, okay.
So that's where she met the twerps. That's weird, unrelated, seemingly, to Ogi Island.
Wait, I'm sorry. So Ogi City is not located in Ogi Island?
No. Ogi City is on Yellow Point Island. Or Yellow Rock Island.
Oh my god. Okay, fine. Whatever. That's one area where we don't have continuity. Because I was super confused. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we have heard that reference before. And then I even looked it up on Bulbapedia. But Ogi Island was only referenced in this episode. So I was like, wait, where did I hear that again? Or maybe I dreamt it or something. But okay, never mind.
What a confusing episode. I don't know why they're reusing that name. Was that a dub error?
Maybe. I mean, regardless of that... This ship thing drew a lot of parallels, and so I'm glad we were clarifying that it's not... This ship in this episode was not the ISS Raspberry.
I like the name, ISS Raspberry.
Okay, update. The dub got confused.
Oh.
Okay, Ogi City is called Ogi City in Japanese.
Okay.
Ogi Island in Japanese was Oki Island.
Oki?
O-K-I.
Oki.
Oki.
Not Ogi with a G.
Right.
Okay, so separate.
And the word Oki means open sea.
So there was an Ogi and an Oki, and they got confused.
There's also, Ogi is the name of a real city in Japan.
Oh.
Fun.
Would you look at that.
Anyway, Gennaro's told his story, and the twerps decide they're going to go to Ogi Island tomorrow. But tomorrow's another day in another episode, because now we all have to go sleep. So the twerps are all sleeping in sleeping bags on the floor in Gennaro's bedroom. But Pikachu wakes up in the middle of the night to see that Gennaro is not sleeping in his twin bed. And Pikachu is very alarmed by his absence.
I'm sorry. So they're in his bedroom where he has a twin bed that we saw him laying in earlier when he was recovering from his small cold. So does that mean that when they all went to bed earlier, Gennaro was sleeping in the bed... And the twerps were sleeping on the ground in the same bedroom.
Yeah, I assume so.
This grown man who they just met. Okay.
Yep. He's gotten up in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning, and he's walked past the children, gone outside, and started doing some metalworking outside in the middle of the night.
This is totally normal.
Yeah, so the twerps all go outside, and they're like, what are you doing? And he says, I'm making a silver wing pendant for Arian. And the twerps say, but she already has one. But Gennaro says, well, it's her birthday, so I'm getting her a replacement, because that one's old and chipped, and this is a shiny new one. And also, I'm going to propose to her.
Oh.
Okay.
Can I just real quick pose the thought? Like, I don't know, Christina, maybe you feel the same as I do, you know, being fellow girl.
Yeah.
Don't they explain that the pin that she has on already, like, that one's the old one that's kind of chipped and it's worn, and he explains that that was the very first... pin that he ever made, or like his very first metalworking project or something, and he like gave it to her as a gift, obviously in their younger years. She's had it for a long time. I thought, my immediate thought would be, if I was her, I would much appreciate that pin over a brand new one. Like, I wouldn't want a replacement one.
The one she wears every day on her lapel.
Yeah,
that's the sentimental one. That's the one that he made the very first time. Like, that one has memories, and like the fact that he's like, oh, I can't come up with anything more clever or more important to symbolize our relationship than a thing that I already made you. Like, if I was her, like, I thought part of this was going to be like her saying, I don't want your new pendant. I want the old one that you made me. But she didn't. Spoiler alert.
I actually feel like I would feel the same way. Like, I've actually thought about it in my own, like, life. Like, if I, you know how some women, like, upgrade their wedding rings or whatever? And I'm like, but it wouldn't be, like, the same that I originally got. So, like, I pretty much just want to keep mine in good shape because I want it to keep value. So I'm like, you could have just easily, like, snuck it off or somehow, like, maybe, like, repolished it up or something like that.
Yeah.
He could have gotten the twerps involved and been like, could you take this discreetly?
Yeah.
Yeah, when she's not looking.
That would have been more, that's a good point to make. That would have been more impactful if he, like, cleaned that one up or made it into some kind of necklace or, I mean, I know it's a little bit big for a ring, but something to, like, symbolize, like, you know, memory together, and that he would use that to propose, because the proposal wouldn't have come out of like left field if that was the case, instead of whatever this is. And you know what, to your other point, if you want to upgrade your existing jewelry or whatever, I guess that's your prerogative. Me personally, I'm with you on that. I'm like, the sentimental thing means more to me than like having something newer, whatever. But
I just did think it was a weird jump though, because like they definitely introduced each other as friends, and now he's like, I have these romantic feelings for her and I'm gonna propose to her.
It went from 0 to 100 real quick, it felt like.
Yeah. He's trying to get out of that friend zone.
I mean, the fact that she like just popped on in without knocking kind of told me that like maybe they are seeing each other seriously and they're just not telling the twerps because they're weird. I don't know,
it could be a cultural thing too, like in Japanese culture, maybe they don't, I don't know.
No, oh, maybe. In Whirl Islands culture, that's how it works.
Yeah.
So he's making her, I called it an engagement wing.
Oh, that's clever.
That's cute. Good for you. I like it. Ah.
So he made her the engagement wing. And the next day, he's going to propose to her with it, and he's wearing a white tux with, like, purple ruffles. That I actually thought was a pretty cute touch.
It was.
But Team Rocket has to attack, as they always do, because they got taken in by that fake jewelry sales guy, and they think that they have all the silver wing luck that apparently is the thing. And they use their vacuum cleaner bot to suck all the merchandise into their balloon and then fly away. But don't worry, because the twerps catch up to them and beat up Team Rocket. Sandslash, specifically, does a lot to protect Pikachu with a sandstorm attack. And then Arian jumps in and she's like, okay, Sandslash, attack them. I don't know, maybe that is an indicator of their relationship?
Sandslash listening.
Yeah, like your Sandslash is my Sandslash, my Sandslash is your Sandslash.
I have a question, because I haven't watched Pokemon in a while, like I said. Is that typical? Like, that is that something that's been established, that couples' Pokemons will, like, listen to each other?
I mean, usually we would see something like Ash would say, okay, Pikachu, do whatever Misty tells you to do. But I feel like he would do it anyway, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't say they explicitly, like, outright say that, but I imagine for people who are really close friends or couples, you know, the Pokemon is kind of, like, I mean, they're smart enough to know, like, okay.
That's also my person.
I like you. Yeah, you're my person as well. Yeah.
So, Team Rocket gets blasted off. Gennaro immediately starts digging through Team Rocket's pile of garbage to find the engagement wing. And he finds it. And he cannot get the words out to her because he's so nervous to propose to someone who he's not dating. And she just casually is like, oh, you're going to propose to me, right? And he's like, ah, just let me say it. So he does. I actually thought that exchange was kind of cute.
I mean, again, to kind of piggyback off of the conversation we just had, I thought that this was going to be the moment, if not before, this was going to be the moment where she was going to say, I don't need you to make me a new pin. I always cherish this one. I know you want to ask me to marry you. You're something like that. I don't know, more romantic and fluffy, but no, we didn't get that.
And so she says yes, they're engaged. The twerps are going to leave to let them have some post-engagement sex. The twerps are off, and you think the episode's over. So the episode's over now, but the twerps keep on walking. They find a cave. They say, this is the cave that'll take us to Oogie Island. They walk through the cave, they comment on the cave, they talk about how spooky the cave is, they leave the cave, they're finally at Oogie Island, they start to talk about Oogie Island, and then they notice a Pikachu. But that's just not any Pikachu. Oh, it's Sparky the Pikachu. And now the episode's over.
That was the big reveal.
Christina, you have not watched the show in a very long time.
No, I did look it up and it was like Richie's poke Pikachu.
I was going to see, like, does this mean anything to you whatsoever? Because I was like, if you don't have context, it's like, what?
Is Richie, like, his, like, opponent or something? Like,
yeah.
Richie is his rival slash friend slash lover. Who he faced off against, what was it, the Indigo League, right?
Yeah, we also think he's a stalker.
He is a stalker.
Is he, like, the first, rival?
Nemesis.
I say nemesis. Rival?
Gary aside, yes.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. Because he's also in the games, too, right?
Richie, no.
No.
Okay.
He's in Pokemon Puzzle League.
You would know about that, wouldn't you, Austin?
Yes, Christina was with me as I was doing that,
yes,
listeners.
Yes.
Was it worth it, Austin?
Was it worth it? It was not worth it, actually.
Yeah, it was fun.
Christina, oh my god. Austin told me about his adventures with Pokemon Puzzle League, the competition at the convention you guys were at. And that encounter that he had with his fellow Pokemon Puzzle Leaguer there lives in my head rent-free now for all time.
He was very serious game face. Like, Austin is not exaggerating.
Was it worth it?
I kind of want to know if he won, but I don't remember his name, so.
Guy, shout out to that Puzzle League guy, was it worth it guy? If you, this will never reach you, I know, but I can put it out in the universe. If you ever do come across our podcast ever, please reach out.
You and Austin can do a rematch.
Yeah, oh yeah. It'll take 2 seconds.
Yes.
Woo. Okay. Now I'm sweating thinking about that. Oh my gosh. MVP,
Puzzle
LVP,
League or Richie?
Both.
Oh god.
First is Christina.
Oh, first is Christina.
First in our hearts, and then Alex, and then Austin.
All right, so my MVP is probably Misty, because I felt like it was so funny whenever, like, Brock got upset, Arianne was, like, clearly with the other guy, she would, like, put him in his place about it, kind of basically like, oh, look, they're childhood sweethearts or something. I forget what she said exactly, but he just, like, starts crying, and I'm like, good job, Misty. And then my LVP was actually probably, I didn't, how do you say his name, the guy that was, like, the jewelry maker?
Gennaro.
Yeah. I actually did not like him. I think it was because, like, their banter back and forth, I just felt like he was obnoxious, so I did not like him.
Putting her down.
Yeah. And then, I don't know if I really have a favorite quote for this one. I feel like it was kind of, like, hard to pick out a specific one. I just like all of Misty's comebacks at Brock. Those are probably my favorite lines.
Do you want me to provide you with one?
Sure.
I always have backups.
The one that says, maybe someday you'll understand women, Brock. How can I understand something so complex? Which is true. Because I don't think Brock ever will.
Nope.
It's almost like humans have emotions and humans are complex.
Yeah.
Not just women. I could argue men are more complex, but we won't get into it.
Ooh, that's a fun discussion.
I mean, look at how dramatic Gennaro was being. I mean, please.
I know.
It's just over a little cold.
My other MVP would probably be Sandslash, because I don't know. He was just really cute. And he was just doing his work. And I felt bad for him.
God, I really... I also want to give my LVP to Gennaro, but I know you just took it.
Ooh, can we do something, a rare thing that we do sometimes, where we what? All give the same LVP?
Can we? Oh, can we do it?
We can do that. That'd be fun.
Do you want to do that?
Because it's going to... Mine's Gennaro, for sure.
All right, let's do it. Let's do the exception to the rule.
He was annoying. I'm basically parroting everything Christina just said. He was annoying. He was ridiculous. Whatever. There's so many things. My MVP... There's not really, like, a lot going on in this episode other than that.
They can't all be the Diglett episode.
I know. They can't all be as great and wonderful, like, peak television, like Diglett episodes are.
I mean, you got The Sopranos, you got Breaking Bad, and you got the Diglett episode.
Exactly. It's completely on that level. Top tier. My MVP, I don't know, Lugia, I guess.
Darn it! That was mine!
Oh, no! I'm sorry. I really was struggling. I guess Lugia, why not? We love Lugia. I might ruffle some feathers, haha, by saying this, but I prefer it over Ho-Oh. I think it makes a more compelling story. It's got shiny feathers and makes really cool wings out of it, and now there's a whole jewelry industry based on it, so good for Lugia, I guess. My quote, okay, just at the very end of the Team Rocket motto where they say, "Team Rocket is very well accessorized at the speed of light. So surrender now to this fashion faux pas or prepare to fight," when they were wearing all that jewelry all over themselves.
That was really funny.
Okay, my LVP is Gennaro.
Haha.
Co-signing that. My MVP is going to be Christina for subbing in today.
Aw, that's so nice. I didn't know you could do people outside of the episodes.
My quote will be Brock asking, "Ash, are you hurt or embarrassed?" when Ash falls over Gennaro's lifeless body. Because I think it's a fun expression.
All right.
That's it.
that's it. Any final thoughts on those two episodes?
No.
I had a clear favorite. Not sure if that was obvious.
Which one?
I don't know. That's a thinker.
I think out of those two, the Diglett was my favorite, because I feel like the romance just felt forced in the other one, so I just didn't really care about it that much, so.
Yeah.
See? All right, Austin, what do we have on tap next week?
Well, before I tell you, like, sweet, just one more thank you to Christina. We will have you back, because we actually already had you scheduled for your future episode this season.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, that's super exciting. Yeah, Christina, definitely. I was going to also thank you at the end, but I will go ahead and do so now. We really appreciate you being here. This has been so fun.
Well, whenever you guys need me to fill in, let me know. Thank you for being flexible with the time.
Of course.
That might be sooner than you might think. Because next week, we got three episodes to
do. Oh, boy.
We got a three-episode story arc. The mystery is history.
Ooh.
A parent trapped, and a promise is a promise.
So a three-episode arc. Okay, so we're getting into some meaty story lore or something, I guess.
Do you really not remember this at all, Alex?
No.
Well, big things are afoot, so get ready.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm buckled in.
I hope we finally meet Lugia.
Maybe. Maybe not. I think potentially. I literally don't remember at all. I think of this World Islands arc, the only one that I have had a vague memory of from, like, when we watched it before years ago is the Octillery episode.
Interesting.
That one stood out. I don't know why. All right, well, that's been the most exciting episode, in my opinion, so far. The Diglett one. Total standout.
Sure.
That's super exciting. Again, Christina, we loved having you on, but we want to just say thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. And of course, if you ever want to get in touch with us and share your own thoughts, please reach out to us at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, that's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or follow us over on Twitter or X. At Out of Drying Pan. Again, at Out of Drying Pan. Or check out our Instagram. I post up there from time to time, and that's Out of the Drying Pan. Again, Out of the Drying Pan. Or if you'd like to support us and see some of our bonus content, if you like our stuff and want to see more, consider supporting us over on our Patreon. You can find the link to that in our description of this podcast. And we all here on Out of the Drying Pan want to say thank you so much for listening, and we hope you join us next week as the journey continues.